Hello and welcome to the Premier League review show, game day 17 action with myself, Gav Mack, Stephen Cotton, and appearing very shortly will be Ed Hall. How are you, Cotton?
Cold, man. It's too cold and I like it cold, but this is too cold. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm very warm. I'm just having electrical issues at the moment. I had a couple of power surges, but only in the kitchen where I am right now. So we'll see how that happens.
And, hello, man.
And how is Ed? Have you got a cup of tea ready?
This is a joke. Yeah. I actually went and got a bowl of cereal because I thought we'd have a little intermission. So I'm going to be munching and I hear you going, down, down, down. I was like, oh no. I was
like, no intermission. We're staying live.
Did you also hear that it's 3-2 Bayern Munich?
It's all right for Serb. As long as you two win money, that's all that matters, I guess.
Indeed. Right, let's get straight into the action. We've just done the live watch along of Chelsea versus Manchester City. Chelsea 1, Manchester City 3. The goals for Man City came from Gundogan in the first half. Only a couple of moments later was Phil Foden. De Bruyne, after some really dodgy counter-attacking, not necessarily from City, but just the way it was defended by Chelsea. And then right at the death was Callum Hudson-Odoi. It's a massive result for Man City because of where it leaves them in the league at the moment, but this has major implications on what happens with Chelsea, doesn't it, Cotton?
Yeah, I genuinely, obviously we were talking about it during the live stream, I genuinely see that this could be the start of the end for Frank, to be honest. I mean, we were talking about their last five or six results in the Premier League, which now read that they, let's just get this up quickly so I get this right. So obviously they lost to City today, 3-1. So their last games, they lost to City, they drew with Villa, lost to Arsenal, obviously, beat West Ham, but then before that they lost to Wolves and Everton. This is a really bad run of form for a team that have spent a lot of money. There was a lot expected of them, and do you know what? A 3-1 result today, I think it flatters Chelsea. I think it could have been way worse. For them to even score is flattering, and it, like, a 3-1 scoreline doesn't tell the story. Chelsea were second best in every single aspect of the game today, every part of the pitch. They were really, really, really poor. It wasn't just a loss. It was a bad performance.
It's not great, is it, Ed? Where's your head with that?
I mean, we've already alluded to how they played, and I say alluded. We've just stated facts. They were poor today. But this is an ongoing problem. I think I see that they drew with Wolves. They lost 3-0 to Arsenal.
They lost to Wolves. They drew with Villa, wasn't it?
Oh, they drew with Villa, excuse me. But the problem is, they've been away with it in terms of public scrutiny, perhaps fan scrutiny. Frank's adored by the fans, and I think it's unfair for any club to be talking about the sacking of a manager. But let's take the legend aside. They've spent a lot of money, whether he wanted them or not. That money has been spent and the results need to come in. They have to come in, and they're not going to sack themselves, so they will sack Frank Lampard. But I don't expect him to be sacked at any point during the season. But if it gets to summer and he's not achieved what he should, expect the inevitable.
You've got to look at managers that are available and managers that not necessarily available but could come in and do a job. Allegri isn't a name that I mention a hell of a lot because it's someone that I really wanted at Arsenal. But if they do get rid of Frank midway through the season, apart from good hitting, which is always the go-to for Chelsea, I can't see anyone coming in to do a part job. They will wait. They will want to come in at the beginning of the pre-season, do their pre-season and come in. You know, during the live watch-along that we were doing on the previous show, is that Tuchel's name is getting mentioned a lot. I think that is a backward step for Chelsea. I know he's got more experience than Frank Lampard has, but it's not the level of experience that is required at a club like Chelsea.
No, Tuchel, like we were saying, that PSG team were by far and away the best team in the league. They still were managing to lose games, drop points. They lost French Cup finals. I don't think he's done enough there to warrant even being touted to come to the Premier League. And if he does, it's purely because he has a name. He shouldn't be there. Frank was hired because of reasons we've discussed, that Chelsea legend. It is what it is. He didn't have the credentials to be to be hired. And before anyone jumps on me, I'll say the same with Ollie. Again, didn't have the credentials to be hired as a Premier League manager. Mm. It's the legend and their status at the club that gets them there. If Ollie or Frank had not played for either team, there's no way either of them would have even been in the top five running for any of these jobs. So it is what it is with Chelsea.
What's the crap with Kai Havertz? Because Kai Havertz at Leverkusen had a wonderful record. Just having a look at what he did in the last season at Leverkusen. He played 30 games, he scored 12 goals, he's got 6 assists, 137 minutes per goal and assist, per goal or assist for Leverkusen. But it's a completely different story at Chelsea. He's got 40, he's played 15 games now, because he did come on today, but before the game today, 14 games, 1 goal, 2 assists, and, you know, a contribution every nearly 5 hours of football. What is Chelsea a step too far for him at this stage?
Yeah, it was. I think it was a season or two too early. It doesn't help that he gets played out of position, and the football that Chelsea are playing isn't great and doesn't suit that style of player. He does have to look at himself as well, though. It's not just a case of let's not witch hunt the manager or whatever. There has been times when he hasn't put in the best performance he can. I know he did suffer with, he had COVID, but I just don't think it hasn't worked well for either party, if I'm perfectly honest.
Mm. On the COVID situation though, Ed, this is a giant victory for Man City, and they were missing 5 first team players.
I've said it all season, I consider Man City very much one of the title favourites. I think the fact that they had a slightly shaky start to the season benefited them. We've all been looking at the Tottenham Hotspurs, the Chelsea's even, breaking into this title challenge per se. And City have just got to quietly go under the radar. They're full of winners of this competition, top quality talent. And they've been with a manager so long, they understand the system. And, you know, that always goes a long way. It's unlike, and when we're seeing what happens when you don't know a system in this Chelsea side, they were first in exactly what to do this game. Expect City to be right up there with Liverpool and whoever else is up there.
Before we move on to the next game, I just want to talk about some real embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing bit of officiating. And that was that was in the first couple of moments. Yeah, I was about to move on. Yeah, there was a pass back that was given for the first time in the Premier League in 6th season, I think it was. But it was it wasn't even a pass back as far as I was concerned. It was on the halfway line, and Rodri's knocked it back to Diaz, who's completely let it go, and it's gone back to Stefan, who's on the edge of his box, and he's picked it up. But the free kick was taken outside the box, which is incorrect in law, and I would like to have known what would have happened if that ball did go into the back of the net, because even though it was a restart, it was incorrect in law, so therefore it could have caused a lot of implications.
I mean, where do you even start? Like, I don't think it was an intentional back pass. How can you give the, how, like, what was going through the ref's mind when the free kick was given outside the box? Unless we're sounding really stupid and there was a law change or something that we don't know about, then fair enough. But how, you're penalising the goalkeeper for picking the ball up in his area, the only place he's allowed to pick it up, and you've awarded the free kick outside the area. So,
the scary thing is, no one seemed to notice.
No one seemed to care.
No one seemed to care. Even the commentators didn't care. No one was tricking their hands up. The players didn't even seem bothered. That's the level we're at in the Premier League.
Unless we're being stupid and we've misconstrued a rule or whatever, but I don't even know anymore. And there was another moment in that game that pretty much summed up the game, and it was Timo Werner taking a corner. Now, I at first thought he kicked the corner flag. Do you know what he actually does? He's taking a corner with his right foot. I think he's trying to take it quickly and kicks his left ankle. He kicks himself.
Oh my lord!
Okay. Even worse than kicking the corner flag, he literally kicks himself and almost injures himself, which sums up the day for both Chelsea and Werner, who had another abject performance. Kante was really bad as well.
on that from Vernon, I didn't realise that's what happened. We'll definitely
move on. Obviously, before we move on, they still have the Chelsea players they've possessed the last two seasons, mostly, bar Hazard. But I think they've probably been gone about two seasons now. They could still play the system of old and do much better than what they're doing right now. Is there not a time to maybe go, okay, I'm just going to stick XYZ players on the bench until they feel more used to the system and just revert back to what was already working? Yeah. Or is that just a mere failure?
That would be taking a step backwards, wouldn't it, in their eyes, sort of.
In their eyes, but I'm sure the board only cares about where they're moving up the board.
Well, that's a management thing, though, isn't it? That's what I would say with that. Also, on Sunday, the 3rd of January, was Newcastle 1 and Leicester 2. The goals came from Maddison and Tielemans, and one back for the first goal in 10 years for Newcastle at St James's Park for Andy Carroll. I'm trying to think when he scored last anyway. No, I'm only joking. It's not that bad. But all three goals in this game were all pretty tidy, and I was a big fan of that, especially Jamie Vardy's inclusion on the Maddison goal, nutmegging a couple of people before squeezing it back and then slotting that one home. Tielemans on the edge of the box in that first time, it's gone cruising into the back of the net, and then Andy Carroll's first time hit, you know, in that situation you normally expect him to be, you know, getting his head on it, but he was in the right position to volley it home. But it's another defeat for Newcastle, and I know that Newcastle fans bag on Steve Bruce. In fact, I don't know a Newcastle fan that defends Steve Bruce.
That's very true. That is very true.
Why do they hate him so much? Is it because they were spoilt with the fact they had Rafa there?
Yeah.
No, the whole mentality of the club's been in different places, so I'll give him credit on that. I think Steve Bruce has actually done a good job. He does a sufficient job with that team. Yeah, I think actually a few of the most recent performances haven't been up to scratch. I'll give him credit if they were to start criticising him now, but it's kind of those situations where they just weren't happy with him, and they're never going to be happy with him. That's just how it is. This game was pretty dry up until the second half, I won't lie to you, though.
Yeah.
It took a moment of magic from Maddison to actually get it going. Leicester, push on. Newcastle still stay in the danger zone.
Both goals were pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah. What does this do for Leicester and their confidence? Do they think that they're in a title challenge?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Everyone's in a title challenge if you're up there in the table, because no one can get a run of games together. The moment you see a club get a run of four or five games together, they'll probably be the title winners. But no one's doing that yet.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's much to talk about on this game. I really don't. Other than that, so we will move on. There was meant to be another game today, which was between Burnley and Fulham, but that was called off for COVID, as a number of games have been over the last little while. COVID or weather, that's been the main premise of things. So let's go into Saturday's games, and a position that looks potentially untenable, but I don't think it should be as bad as that, is the situation at Sheffield United. Crystal Palace, they ran out 2-0 winners against Sheffield United. The goals came from Jeffrey Schlupp after literally 4 minutes into the game, and then Richie Eze, he scored right at the death. This is quite a professional performance, I felt, from Crystal Palace boys.
Yeah, they got in, got the job done, got out, sort of thing. They never looked like they were in any trouble, and I don't know whether that's completely attributed to Crystal Palace being tight and well drilled, or were Sheffield United just that bad they didn't offer anything? But Palace, games like this, they'll be looking at points for this, because they're not a million miles away from being in trouble themselves. So yeah, great result for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I don't think Crystal Palace had to do much. I mean, let's be honest, Sheffield United play bad, they lose. They play all right, they lose. If Sheffield United play well, they lose.
I'm laughing at what you're saying.
So as that goes on and you still find yourself on 2 points bottom of the league, that fight back and that belief just dwindles and dwindles. And it seems now the moment they go a goal down, it's over. And I think maybe they should start all mentally prepared. I think they are. I think they are, in truth. They know they're in a terrible situation. Crystal Palace have good individuals who can perform brilliant moments of magic. the Palace are what they are. I mean, it sounds generic, but they were always going to be favourites in this game, especially at home. But Palace have been a bit up and down of late. So, you know, we can actually judge them on the other games that come up, not Sheffield United.
What does this do for Sheffield United? Like, is it the media that are bigging it up more? Do you think Sheffield United have any intention of getting rid of Wilder?
No, and they'd be really silly.
We love managers getting sacked. The media, not us, but it's sells papers. I say sells papers. That's not the point anymore. But you understand the saying? It's like half the time, I bet you these managers ain't even considered to be sacked until the media starts getting it circulated, and they go, "Yo, should we be doing something here? Should we be sacking this guy?" Like, because you know how it is. The media is the worst thing in football.
What about Sheffield United? I mean, like, well, they are going down, but like one good thing to come out of it is a debutant, 16-year-old Antoine Hackford. He came off the bench. He got himself 10 minutes or so towards the end of the game. Is this the thing that Sheffield United should do now? Just like blood some kids and like just worry about what's happening for next season?
Blood some kids? They brought, excuse me, I've tripped up my headphones out. They brought a bloody 20 million kid.
Yeah. I think if you're Sheffield United now, you get, like you said, you get all your ducks in a row, you make sure that you're, I know there's still half a season left, and you wouldn't really want the mentality of, if you honestly admit defeat now, you might as well just not even play any more games, but they will be knowing that it's coming, so I'd get everything sorted, just carry on the way you're playing. It worked last season. I don't think there's any turning it around, but I don't think any knee-jerk reaction. Like, honestly, right, this is why they shouldn't sack Wilder. They sack Wilder tomorrow. Who do they bring in? And does anybody come in and keep that Sheffield United team up? Not in a million years.
He knows them all individually. He knows the system. He knows the club layout. That's your best option in coming back up.
And yeah, exactly. You want him there next season when you're down there. That there shouldn't be that, like, there shouldn't even be the question. In this game though, that the Eze goal is absolutely just
he's danced through three or four people from the halfway line and just like just walked through, and then he's got to the edge of the box and you're thinking, well, are you gonna feed it or are you gonna put it like just literally just drill it top bins? No, he just opens his body up and just passes it into the bottom corner. I think the way he's taking that, he is taking that like a true, you know, season pro. And he's quite a young lad himself, isn't he? You know, what is he, 23?
Something like that. He got rejected by a lot of clubs, didn't he, as a youngster?
And also he was at Millwall, but Millwall played like a 4-4-2. It didn't work for him there. You know, QPR thought they had gold on their hands, but... You know, when a Premier League club comes for someone like that, then you know you've got to let him go.
He's 22.
He's 22. Loads of time on his hands. Absolutely loads of time. Right then, where shall we go to? Ah, yes, let's go to this game. The 6-goal thriller that I thought was going to be 0-0. Brighton 3, Wolves 3. And this game, when Wolves went 3-1 up, it's like, well, that's game over, isn't it? I'll put the darts on.
Any game that involves Brighton is just like, they either get a goal in the last minute or they concede a goal in the last minute. Brighton don't just win or lose, I'm telling you. Like, they can't. Oh, I'm so
they never look comfortable, do they? Connolly opened the scoring with a goal on 30 minutes. I thought he took that really well, you know, just nicked it away from Rui Patricio. But that's his first goal at home since he scored a brace against Spurs. That is not good enough. That is like well over a year ago. So yeah. I don't know whether they're putting too much pressure on him or not, but I don't think he's going to ever light it up. In my opinion, but Wolves came back. They bounced back. They didn't mess about. Saïss header was brilliant. Looped right into the corner before Dan Burn scored a brilliant own goal and gave away a lovely penalty. Now, like, well, I was on the phone to Stephen when I was watching this game, and me and you at the same time were like, Dan Burn, what are you playing at, mate?
I'm surprised they checked it on VAR. It's like, why? Like, he's literally, the guy's already got away from him. He's lunged in, and then Burn is literally on the floor pounding the ground because he knows he's done wrong.
Probably finding his inner Sammy Kafur.
Honestly, this game... with the utmost respect, the quality of the football and the goals and just the general, like, this game was so hard to watch. Like, the goals are all sloppy, they're all other defensive errors or rebounds or deflections. It just, it wasn't great, if we're being completely honest.
A draw was a fair result.
One thing I would say while we're touching on Wolves, I know it's really early days, but Fabio Silva at Wolves, I'm not buying it. I know he's still really young, but the problem is there's a difference between bleeding the youth and there's a difference between throwing this guy in the game, in the deep end, every game, starting him. And again, like we were saying earlier, if he goes another X amount of games without a goal, then it starts mounting up and then questions are asked and stuff. He does need to be bled into the Premier League, but now and then sort of thing. And I think they're putting way too much pressure on this guy to be their goal scorer. Obviously, Jimenez was one of the most important parts of that Wolves team working, and he was keeping it ticking. But honestly, I'm not buying it. We spoke about it the other day, saying that now that Diego Costa's knocking around on a free.
No, I'm
talking
about
that. No, but 6 months contract at a team like Wolves, literally, by the time Jimenez is back, Costa can move on. Fabio Silva might learn a little something from him. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but looking at Wolves, I don't think they won't be able to push for Europe or do anything without a recognised, experienced striker in that team at the minute.
Yeah, but another year in the Premier League, they only get richer, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose, but you want to keep the forward momentum, don't you?
I'm seeing a lot of Wolves fans. I don't know if they're drunk or not. They may have had a few too many over the Christmas and New Year period. But there's talks of sacking Nuno.
Okay, I'll have him.
I think that is so outlandish.
Easily been one of the best managers in the Prem for the last 2-3 years. Like, no way.
3 years now.
They're having a dip of form. That is all it is. I don't think that. I don't know where their heads have gone. But you know, football is a fickle world.
It changes.
Yeah,
it changes. But come on, man! Like they've look what they've achieved. Look what they're playing at.
Ranieri happened. I mean, I know that was a whole other situation. You can dissect. But when did you become too big for this manager who just won you the league? Money talks.
Yeah, but like, they won a league and then they were floundering somewhere else, whereas Wolves, you know, they're still knocking around in the top half.
No, I agree.
It's still early doors.
There is no loyalty.
One manager that they won't be looking at is Sam Allardyce, who's having a wonderful time at the moment. He's conceded 12 goals in just 3 games, 13 goals in 3 games, let's just say. It didn't help him. It was West Brom 0, Arsenal 4. Now, I looked at this game at 7 o'clock and I thought it was going to get called off from the snow, and I think West Brom would have appreciated that happening. The goals came from Tierney, Saka and a Lacazette break. No goals from open play. All goals from open play, and no goals once again from Aubameyang. But it was a really, really professional performance from Arsenal yesterday. And I just want to talk about Kim Tierney's goal first of all, because that was
absolutely sexual.
This doesn't really mean much in the grand scheme of things for Arsenal, though, does it?
No, it does. Of course it does.
It does, but it needs to be taken cautiously. Like, you were playing second from bottom. They, honestly, from minute one, Arsenal, you played some lovely football. First time I was enjoying watching Arsenal play for a long time. It was 75% Arsenal were just on it. Like, they looked on it. And the other 25% was West Brom just made things so easy. Like, there was a lot of defensive issues and just everything was just way too easy. Tierney goal is an absolute outrage, don't get me wrong. Way too much time and space. I don't know why he was allowed the freedom of the park. But
West Brom were so predictable when they were attacking down the left-hand side. They kept on running to a point where they were probably about... They were still on the left touchline, but probably about 10 yards out from the, like, well, it's probably, yeah, probably about Yeah, probably about 30 yards out or so, and then cut inside, right foot cross. It was really, really predictable from West Brom.
Yeah, it wasn't great at all. It was just you can see why they're in trouble. And I genuinely think I thought this when he took over, but big Sam's record of not getting relegated is pretty much wrapped up and gone, I think.
Yeah, it's looking pretty hairy. But no, I have to echo you. I'm not just saying it as an Arsenal fan, because you know what I'm like anyway. But it was very easy to watch Arsenal yesterday. They were actually quite enjoyable. They were passing around. They had the confidence. They wanted to work for each other. I thought Ceballos made Xhaka look really good yesterday by the two of them just working in tandem, understanding each other's game. It was nice to actually see Arsenal put a foot in a few times as well on challenges, rather than standing off players and having a zonal defensive mentality even high up the pitch. So no, it was really good from Arsenal, I thought. But yeah, West Brom, I think they're doomed. I think we thought they were doomed before anyway, but I think they would have stood a better chance if Slaven Bilic was there.
West Brom deserve everything they get now. I need the way for them. Like, I wasn't gunning for them to go down, or I didn't care if they stayed.
I kind of wanted him to keep them up.
But now after they've done this, I hope they go down. I honestly do. Like, if it's karma.
You know, Bilic is in it. You can moan that, you know, they probably could have got more of a result.
He got them there. That was his job to lose, and he didn't do anything, in my opinion, which was worth losing the job. You were losing against teams which are vastly better than you in the top league in the country,
and also picked up a point against Chelsea, picked up a point against City.
Does it mean that you're Premier League standard?
Yeah, he picked up a point against Chelsea. Yes, it was from they were 3-0 up, but it's still a point against Chelsea. He would have taken that before the game started. He picked up a point against Liverpool. They are currently the league champions. He picked up a point against Man City, who only won the title the season before that and are arguably second favourite to win the league this year. They lost 1-0 to Tottenham, with an 88th minute goal from Harry Kane. They lost 1-0 to Man United. You know, so when they have lost against the more elite sides, they've put a really good account of themselves under Slaven Bilic. So, it's a decision that I'm not very au fait with, but it is what it is, isn't it? Right then, it's time for this. Everton 0, West Ham 1. It's that time again where Everton go on a bit of a run. You know, they picked up 4 wins on the spin, and then they come against the West Ham side, who aren't exactly enjoying themselves. They're doing well at the moment, but the last few games they've been a little bit iffy. So what do? Yeah, they play at home. Oh, yeah, and they lose 1-0. Brilliant. Classic Everton, this is.
Classic Everton, yeah. West Ham, it's Souček again. Like, he has got to be one of their better signings in the last 5-10 years. Like, I swear to God, this guy pops up everywhere.
I love him. I absolutely love him.
I think he's really good. They got him for pretty much a snip as well, didn't they? What, like 6-8 million or something from?
Everton's form and Everton's Arsenal players warrants, excuse me, a Champions League run, but nothing more than that. They are far too inconsistent to even be spoken about in a title run.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. It might be nice some weeks. You might think, oh, they're second, but they will not be there at the end of the year. But this is This is the best Everton side I've seen in, since maybe Moyes, maybe.
I don't think the Moyes team was actually all that. This is the best Everton team that I've seen in my lifetime. But no, even under Moyes, they finished fourth once. They finished sixth once or twice. But the most of the time, they were still yo-yoing between mid-table and like just above relegation.
Have they finished in the top four since Moyes?
No, they finished in the top four once. Yeah, and that's the season when you won the top, when you won the Champions League.
We won the Champions League. Yeah, we did.
piss off. But yeah, Everton, this is the whole reason why we have a section called What Are Everton on our show. It's as simple as that. What they just done there, and Everton fans will come at me and be like, oh, well, what do you know? You're an Arsenal fan, rah, 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 as in me directly. It doesn't really matter what team you support.
Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't matter what team you support. You can look at Everton every year and be like, right, this is Everton. This is what we expect here.
I never bet on Everton to win. I'm not. It's my score. No, no, no. And if you never look at Everton, I'm going to stick that on my hacker. Because you have no idea where you're
going to
go.
No. The most unpredictable side going. They have a decent squad this year. I still think they can make a couple of additional... in fact, what additions would you make apart from goalkeeper? Because obviously that's an obvious position. Man for man, they've actually got a pretty decent side, and they've got one of the best managers in world football. Arguably one of the best managers ever, if you have a look at his CV. So,
they don't need to look for anyone in the January transfer window. If they want to add some more squad depth, go for it. What they've got and what the players know of the system works. You know, this is a good enough side to challenge for top four. Don't go messing with that. You haven't got any massive injuries to compete with. But in the summer, you probably might want to look at another attacker because you've got a lot of right forwards, left forwards. Let's be honest, Alex Iwobi, Theo Walcott. Yeah, they're not really that elite level. They've got a good set of mids, but they could probably do with some actual quality out wide to provide when Calvert-Lewin ain't there.
I reckon Theo will go back to Everton after his loan spell. Do you reckon he'll sign a stay on at Southampton?
Probably stay at Southampton.
Yeah.
Oh, I would as well, to be fair. Suchek, he signed for 15 million. He was on loan. It was a loan
Slavia
to
Dubai. Prague.
Slavia Prague, indeed. Yeah. The second team of Prague as well. It's Sparta Prague, who are normally the number one guys over there. So that's really good scouting from the Everton network, from the West Ham network there.
He's only 25 as well. I know he looks about 32 and he's seen it all, but he's only 25.
I think if he continues in this vein of form, this will be his last season at West Ham. And fair play to him, because he'll go on and he doesn't necessarily have to go to like a top six club in the Premier League or something. You know, I don't think it'll work in Spain. I can see him being in Italy or in Germany, most definitely. I think he could go somewhere with it. He's a good player, and he does everything that you need in the middle of the park as well. And I really like that. He's got lots of energy. He's absolute threat in the air. So yeah, that's that one there. But let's talk about Man United. Let's go Man United first, and then we'll talk about the Spuds at the end. So Man United 2, Villa 1. Little bit of controversy in this game. The goals came from Martial. Traore equalised, and then seconds later there was a penalty which Bruno Fernandes scored. Was it a penalty, Stephen Cotton?
For me it is, yeah. But like, and that's everyone's just going to think I'm saying that because it's like I'm a United fan. I get it, right? If you've just been on Twitter or whatever and you've scrolled down and you've seen the zoom, like you've seen the he's tripped himself, right? I can understand out of context why you think it's not. If you watch the whole incident as the build up, like the throwing comes in, Luis tries to step across the front of Pogba, like you can tell he's trying to like put him off, and there's contact. Yeah, Pogba's leg ends up clipping his own leg, but there is contact from Luis onto Pogba's ankle. Now the problem is that it is a penalty because it's soft as ice cream on the sun, but the problem is those are the ones that have been given for the last year or two. The problem is it is a penalty. The problem isn't that it's been awarded to Manchester United. The problem is that in the Premier League at the minute, that is a penalty. And it's soft and it's awful, but it is what it is. And it's just boring me now because we have to say it every week. Like, it does make me laugh that we're boiling so much piss that everyone's getting so angry about United getting penalties. But it's like, what do you want us to do? Like, okay, there has been some suspect ones, don't get me wrong. Every single team in the Premier League this season has had a suspect one. Every single team has had a few suspect ones over the last two seasons or whatever. Cool. Of all the 36 penalties or whatever it is we've had since Ollie's been there, if you showed me a video of every single one of them, there is probably two or three that I'd say to you, that's lucky, probably shouldn't have got that. but then the rest of them just stop fouling us in the box. Like, what do you want to do? Like, we've got attacking players like Rashford and Martial, right? The thing is, those two have such inconsistent end products, right? Defenders shouldn't even go in on them. Wait for them to shoot. They probably won't even hit the target, or they'll only just make a save out of the goalkeeper. Like, but people keep fouling. It is what it is. And it's also really easy to forget the decisions we don't get, or any team that doesn't get. Mings, we should have had a penalty before that. Mings just absolutely UFC elbowing Pogba off the ball in the face, like, never made an attempt to play the ball. Mings has got previous for being a bit naughty. That wasn't given. At the end of the day, like I said to you, because we spoke about this the other day, what are we supposed to do? Is Bruno Fernandes supposed to step up to the penalty spot, roll the ball out for a corner and be like, sorry, Jason1789 on Twitter says that we're getting too many penalties, so, like what are we to do? I mean, you think it's a bit soft, don't you?
I don't think it's a penalty. Ed, what do you think?
I think it is a penalty.
I don't think...
So you based it on, I don't think it's a penalty if I was refereeing a football game.
If I was refereeing
that doesn't mean shit. Game. Do you know what I mean? Like, no offence, but that doesn't mean anything.
I think it means everything. It means everything, because from a referee's point of view, do you give a free kick? Do you give a penalty in that situation? I don't think, I'm the one in control of that game. I don't think that's a penalty. I'm not giving it.
But the referee did give it, like, instantly, didn't even think about it. And then the VAR'd it, and they have, like, there's no qualms there either. So,
I don't see it. I'm sorry. I do think you should have had a penalty for the situation that you alluded to before. I don't know whether that had any bearing on the situation or not. But I don't know. But
the thing is, man, and it's like, it sounds like I'm a sport little kid or whatever, but we sit here and we talk about it, and it's like, the media, we've already said before, your man from The Sun, what's his name? Samuel, I can't remember what his name was, but he literally said, print a story about United, it'll get you your clicks, it'll sell you your papers. Doesn't matter if Liverpool have just won 5-0, that'll be a little column in the back page, and then the rest of it will be whatever's happened at United, because it sells papers, right? So at the minute, there's this narrative that, oh, United, with their penalties, it's so corrupt, blah, blah, blah. We've only got like one more penalty than a few other teams. Leicester have got four more penalties this season than us.
Yeah, Leicester have done a number of more penalties.
Mate, honestly, last night, Richard Keys and Andy Ground, I need to call him David Gray, Babylon.
Babylon.
But they literally did a thing on BN Sport or whatever channel they're on, nearly 2 minutes crying and discussing why Man United are getting these penalties. How can they have this many in two seasons? Like, what is happening? Why is this such a... Liverpool had the same thing last year. Has everybody forgot? Like, is everyone that... their memory that short, that Liverpool had this exact same situation last year where they got a penalty and it was like, oh, Liverpool. Every game there was a decision that went their way pretty much, and it was like, oh, they're buying the league. Now we're back winning a few games, and it's back on us, and it's just...
Well, it's Manchester United, we know this.
Bruno Fernandes, which also... Bruno Fernandes, including his penalties, is... Oh, hold on, let me find the stat, because it's actually a really good one, and it will take me 2 seconds, don't worry. The stat is, here we go. So, if you remove Bruno Fernandes' penalties, he'd still be the top goalscoring midfielder in the Premier League with 6 goals. And if you only used his penalties, he would still be the top goalscoring midfielder in the Premier League. So...
is he better than Kevin De Bruyne?
Really? At the minute.
He's having a better season, I think. He's having a better season than Kevin De Bruyne.
He's having a better season.
But people are talking, is he better than Kevin De Bruyne?
I don't know if they're similar players. It's going to sound really silly because they play in a similar position, but I don't know if it's really comparable. I mean, at the minute, I know who I'd rather have in my team. That's all I'll say on it. But
that doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying Patrick Bamford's having a better season than Kevin De Bruyne. Do you know what I mean? It's they've probably been on the same level for the last 18 months. Probably slightly in more favour Bruno Fernandes, but you can't take away what Kevin De Bruyne has done for the 3 years prior to that.
I'm with you.
They're probably both at the similar level, very different, but just as consistent for their teams.
Indeed, and you mentioned Patrick Bamford. Christina, she messaged via YouTube because
you tell her to do what not be said. I'm joking.
To be honest, I thought she disappeared from the face of the earth. And then when I saw that message, I was like, "Oh no!"
You have changed all the social media handles and stuff, haven't you? We've blocked her and we've changed it to Top Football England or something. Like we've changed everything so she can't track us down, right?
I don't know who you're on about.
Hey, you know how week three.
Patrick Bamford has scored 10 goals, 10 plus goals now, but he didn't get on the score sheet this week. No, the goals came from Harry Kane, Heung-min Son, and just after half time was Alderweireld. And obviously the press are still banging on about how much of a joy Leeds are to watch this season. This is a big result for Tottenham, but I am really, really wound up with the opening goal because it's come from a penalty.
But it doesn't matter because it happened to Spurs and it wasn't United. So like, literally, have you actually seen many people moaning about this or any of the pundits talking about it? No, nothing. So go on, Gav, take it away. Why was this penalty so stupid?
Right, so Alioski has made a challenge outside of the box with Harry Kane.
Bergwijn.
Sorry, it was on Steven Bergwijn, wasn't it? He's interlocked legs with him, and he's gone to VAR, and apparently it's been awarded. But even on close administration, even on observation from many people all over the world, and it's been on Twitter, I've done stills, the challenge and the contact happens fully outside the box, not making any contact with the line of the box. Now, the line of the box, if you make a challenge on that situation for the attacking team, it will constitute in a penalty because on the line is in the box. This is outside of the box, and even with VAR, with stills, it's shown outside, yet a penalty is given.
It was that far outside the box, and when Alioski had fouled him, Alioski takes a step forward after fouling him, and Alioski's feet are still outside the box. That's how far Alioski is outside the box. He fouls him, takes a step forward, and he lands after the tackle, and he's still outside the box. And it's like, it's funny because before the game, Mourinho made a snide little comment like he does, saying about Kane that he doesn't need penalties to score 10 goals. And to be fair, I can't even make this joke because this penalty was outside the box. But Mourinho moaning about players scoring 10 penalties, it's like we get penalties because we don't spend the whole game camped in our own box and having our striker playing CDM. So there's a little bit of a fight there.
It's not a penalty. And feel free to go to the Two Up Top page because I have just retweeted it. Cotton did send me the tweet the other day. And
There's even closer ones. TalkSport posted one where it's not even close. It's so stupid.
It's not close. In fact, I can't see it anymore. Has it been removed?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's probably been a move because it's so controversial.
I'll find one and I'll take
it. I'll retweet it.
I think Tottenham, you've done your game plan well. You needed to get back on the bandwagon. Congratulations. Leeds need to take some criticism.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Some criticism. They conceded way too many goals this season.
Yeah, it's like they could lose 7-0 but go on, but they did play well.
But that's the thing. That is even becoming like a meme in itself. Like everybody knows that the press are doing it. It's absolutely scandalous. It's literally like, well, Leeds have lost 3 on the bounce and they've lost 8-0 today. But it's such a breath of fresh air to see them play an exciting, expansive football. But when a different team that's in a relegation zone does that, it's like a bit naive. That.
Yeah. they've automatically become media darlings after being hated by everyone for a number of years. Yeah, it's lovely to see them back. I really think it is lovely to see them back.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We talk about them like they're like this. I know they're a big club, but we talk about them like now they're back amongst one of the top teams. They're 12th. Like, that's not grand. That's not terrible. We've seen teams like Sheffield United. We've seen teams like Wolves. They sit right near the top six. That was far more. Wolves did the same thing. The thing is, it was a big. I don't know why Leeds get far more praise for their attacking football. To be fair, it is good. And it is
a big club. They're a big history. They've got a big history.
Big history, without a doubt. And I'm not telling you to start putting 10 men behind the ball, but bloody defend. Jesus. It's basic football, man.
No, you're wrong.
I did just see while I'm looking for this picture, it was on TalkSport, and it was literally like with the little drunk emoji. It's like literally nobody knows why this back pass was taken outside the box. So a few other
being acknowledged.
Yeah,
that's good.
But Spurs, it's another good win for Spurs, man. As horrible as we like their football, and it was a bit of a soft pen. The rest of the goals were good. Spurs just quietly doing their thing. They do play better, and they do get better results when it's under the radar, when they're not literally being bigged up, because Spurs are Spurs and they will Spurs it up. So if they just if they're left to their own devices and just not put in a title picture, I mean, look what happened when they literally were like, everyone was like their title contenders. What, the three or four games they just went down the pan, like it just went out the window.
Yeah,
but now
on action,
Now you leave them to their own devices, and then they trundle on and they keep grinding out results. So fair play to them.
Let's get that table up. Right, so let's have a look at this end of the table. Arsenal are top.
And we can't see how many points they've got either, so like it could be false.
Oh yeah, Leeds are second in the league, and that's why everyone's bigging them up. And in 10th place is Sheffield United. Sheffield United in 10th place, having not a bad season. Sheffield United rock bottom, worst record of any Premier League team ever at this stage. Even Derby in that record year where they only picked up 11 points, they had 6 points by this stage of the season. So it's not looking great for them. 2 draws, 15 defeats. They've only scored 8 goals and conceded 29, but it's not the worst defensive record in the Premier League so far. And that lies with West Brom, who've conceded 13 in their last 4 games. They are 6 points from safety. Fulham occupying the third relegation spot. But they have got a couple of games in hand. They were meant to play against Burnley today, who are currently sitting 16th place on 16 points, but that was called off due to COVID measures. The rest of the bottom line up like this. So Arsenal are top of the bottom. I just want to say that on 23 points, alongside Leeds, also on 23, Wolves on 22, Palace on 22, and a game back is Newcastle, and they are on 19 points. Now, if we have a look at the top of the table, it's just as tight as it is in the bottom half as well. So Liverpool, they are top of the league. They are playing tomorrow against Southampton, who are in 9th position. Liverpool occupied top spot alongside Manchester United. As you can say at this stage of the season, they are joint top, but on the moment, you can say that.
No, we can't. We're not joint top.
Yes, you can. You're joint top.
Joint on points, but we're not joint top.
I'm setting the narrative so we can go, look at you.
Yeah. At the top of the league. when you were joint top. And then Leicester, they picked up that win against Newcastle today.
They're
just in third. They're on 32 points.
No, they're joint. Look, they're not with Tottenham. Oh, I thought we were just completely dismissing goals and points and stuff. I thought we were just saying anyone's joint with anyone. Like, I just thought we weren't going on the league.
Oh, such a format. Such a fraud, Stephen. Such a fraud.
we're not joint second. We are
in fourth place is Tottenham on 29 points. And joint with them on points is Manchester City in fifth. Everton in sixth, and then Leicester is Villa, and Chelsea, Southampton, and West Ham who complete the
Chelsea, who are only 3 points ahead of you now. I know there's some Chelsea fans giving it the big into the Arsenal fans about relegation battles and stuff. Yeah, so they need to. Chelsea fans need to calm down with the bants, I think.
Next week is FA Cup action. Looking forward to that. Ooh. FA Cup third round. We'll have a little roundup of all the Prem clubs that are in the FA Cup. But in the meantime, we have got the Bundesliga show on Wednesday, and we might throw a couple of shows or do bits and bobs in the meantime, because that's what we do. And we do what we want at Two Up Top. You can subscribe to us at Two Up Top Football on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, all the others, YouTube in particular. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Caster, Acast, wherever you want to listen to us, wherever your main podcast provider is. And wait to get to that point where you can say, hey, Alexa, play two up top football?
Should be able to do it now, surely, shouldn't it?
I was looking for hip hop songs on Amazon when I said that.
I'm a dreamer, but.
Look, mate.
Oh, no.
Alexa's just stereotyped you, Gav, and I'd have a word with Jeff Bezos, mate.
Alexa, stop.
He wants hip hop, does he? do you know what? I've only just clicked to we've got in the FA Cup on Saturday as well, which will be very interesting.
Who have you got?
We've got Watford.
Ooh, the Danny Iron yeah. Derby.
Do you want to do a watch along for Man United, Man City in the League Cup?
No, because I want to enjoy watching it, and it stresses me out trying to do it. Like, do you know what I mean? It stresses me out trying to. I might do. See how I'm feeling tomorrow. In fact, yeah, we will, because it'll make really great viewing when I have a meltdown.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Brilliant. Okay, then. Well, that's it. That's it from us then for this week. In the terms of Bundesliga, Bayern did win 5-2, which is great news for.
I was close to my 6-2 there.
Almost happened. It almost happened. Really looking forward to that happening, but it's such a shame. I'm going to put my feet up and watch the darts.
Oh. Quickly before we go, it's we do this every. Last minute of the show. It's called Stephen's Stat Before We Go.
We'll get a jingle made for you.
Yeah, since the start of December, only West Bromwich Albion and Sheffield United have lost more Premier League games than Chelsea. See you later, folks.
Oh, and on that point, Gav Mack, Stephen Cotton, Ed Hall, I say Southgate out. What about yourselves?
Lampard out.
If anyone got a pen, I need to sign Foden's report card.